It's called high achievers. Many of us think that high achievers are those people who are in the top 10 list of wealthy people. Their names were written in the magazines, and we thought they are great and high achievers. But there are some great and high achievers that you and I may not hear about them. Those high, great achievers that you probably read about, but their names were never mentioned. We read about those who went into this aftermath war zone area where the rubbles were everywhere, torn and tattered buildings. They were run into the place, pull out all these rubbles and trying to save a little child within. There are high achievers like a mother who worked as a washerwoman. She will work so hard just to pay off the children's education. Those are high achievers. What about mothers who try their very best to help the kids to grow up the right way? You don't even hear much. You heard about John Wesley, but you don't hear about his mother. How many of you would hear about Mary Read, a woman of great love for people who suffers leprosy? In India, she would travel there and live among those people. And subsequently, she was afflicted with leprosy too. These are high achievers, which some of us may not have heard about. And there are high achievers in the Bible as well. And these high achievers, some names are very familiar because preachers do preach about them. But I want you to come along with me and see what the Bible said about these people. Hebrews 11 verse 7. By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Hebrews 11, 23 to 25. By faith Moses' parents, we don't hear much about them, hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Hebrews 11, 31, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Hebrews 11, 32, 38, but what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of the lions, quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. High achievers are those who are externally and internally motivated by a desire to get things done. These are not impressive people, by the way. What made them known as high achievers or even called heroes of their time? And one of the beautiful things that I extract from these people who are not supposed to be that impressive, some of you probably think that you are like them. You have many flaws and you thought you are not high achievers. But today, I want you to know why they were known as high achievers. Number one, these high achievers are people who save their families. These are the people who say to get their families back to church. We have children today telling the parents that they're not, they say, no, I don't like the church. No, I don't like the children's church. Oh, I don't like the children's activities. And so because of that, the parents said, okay, let's see what other church. You see, we have taught our kids to be consumers, not committed people, consumers. We have to get our people back to church. We got to get them saved. Sometimes we tell the teenager to get up from bed and say, it's time to go to church. Oh, no, not again. Sounds familiar, isn't it? And sometimes we get these young guys to or young girls to go to church, their eyes are, what? Go to church? Their eyes roll the other way. People complain about the waste of time to be in the church. I can be in a football field. I probably can go for the AFL. I know of a pastor who told me one of his members says the member came to him and told him, say, Pastor, for this coming season, AFL season, I probably may not be attending the church. Wow. When the pastor told me that, I was speechless. God is waiting. God is waiting to meet us in His house. The Bible says David knew what it means to be in the house of the Lord. He says it is better than 1,000 days elsewhere. Listen to these statistics, parents. There is a report by the person named Warren Mueller. He revealed that where both parents attend church regularly, the statistics shows 72% of their children continue in the faith. Where only the father attends, the percentage dropped to 55%. But when only the mother attends, only 15% of the children remain involved in the church. When I read the statistics, we thought parents have such a little influence over our children's faith. Man, I tell you honestly, it has 100% of influence over our children's faith. We need to get our children back to the church. You see, Moses' mother, parents, they tried to go against the king's edict. The king's edict was very simple. He wanted to get rid of any boys delivered by the Israelite women. He told the midwives to kill any boy being delivered, but if it's a girl, let her live. So the mother went against that. Hit the child. Hide the child. Protect the child. Brothers and sisters, that's what parents are doing, supposed to do. Protect your children. Hide them from the danger. There is a danger in Egypt at the time. And that's why Moses' mother hides him, because she finds that Moses is no ordinary child. And I can tell you, all of us are having no ordinary child. And so we need to protect and hide and bring the children back to the house of the Lord and get saved. That's what we need to do. Moses was kept by the mother, and after that, she could not keep anymore. She put him in a very well-prepared papyrus basket and then let the basket flow into the river. To me, is this, listen, we need to hide, protect our kids until the day that we know our kids are ready to be sent out into the University of Egypt, where they can stand strong and the external factors of the faculties and evolutionist philosophy and all the atheistic influences around the campus will not cause them to fall. We are telling you to hide and protect your children from the danger before they are sent out into the world. Joshua made a very powerful statement. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Somebody say amen. As for me and my house. You remember the widow with the little oil in the house? He got her children to come into the house and helped her with the jars that she collected from her neighbors. And he told the children, pour the oil, pour the oil. When the jar was filled, they brought another jar and poured the oil. The children were inside that place when she closed the door. Simply means we must get our children involved in the work of God. We need our children to grow up to be of great service to the kingdom of God. Think about that. That's why they were high achievers. They saved their families. My father wrote a biographical book of himself, and I was very proud and happy when he wrote my name. I tell you why I was so proud and happy, because when I was a teenager, My father called me a black sheep of the family. But you know what? When I came to know Christ at the age of 18, 19, there was such a transformational power of God that I didn't even knew that it was taking place. My conviction was just growing and growing. Every time I see something, my conviction took place. Then what happened was, when that thing took place, my life changed. Then my father one day wrote in the biographical book, and I saw my name and I read that part. He says, my youngest son has shaken the home because I had the privilege of bringing and speaking to my elder sister, being the youngest in the home, speaking to my elder sister, 12 years older than me, and after that, my rest of my siblings and their children are here, and managed to get them to become a believer in Jesus Christ. And also my mom and my dad was the last one because he thought he is a great man, a disciplined man, a hard man. So after when the Holy Spirit came, that was the first time I saw my father cried. Most of the time, he made me cry. I never had a chance to see him cry. So that day, the Holy Spirit just poured, boom, and he just cried. I said, woo! So happy. I was just rejoicing that my dad experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. It was a beautiful time. Brothers and sisters, let us protect and save our families. If you have brothers and sisters and loved ones who are not saved, please share the love to them. Share your love and bring them back to the house of God. This is the place where they must get saved. Amen? Let us start off by protecting our family. The second reason why they are known as high achievers is because they did what others would not dare to do. They did what others would not dare to do. They were not intimidated by any command of the enemy. They were passionate with their position. They do not give in to their present unstable condition. In fact, they constantly resisted. You remember Joseph was cast out and was thrown into the pit and later on was sold to the slave traders. But he will constantly live his life as long as God receives all the glory. He do not want to tarnish the name of the Lord God Almighty. He lived his life so that God's name will be glorified. He dared to do the things where other people would not dare to do. Potiphar's wife tried to tempt him. He says, no, but today we have too many spreading of news of our people who just fell into the temptation. We need to learn to resist. Otherwise, more families will be broken. Bartimaeus, a blind man crying out when he heard about Jesus walking past. He said, Son of David, have mercy on me. He could not see, but he could hear footsteps. He could hear the crowd coming closer and closer. But the crowd turned around and said, hey, blind man, shut up. He said, blind man, shut up. But Bartimaeus, the Bible says, he cried out even louder. The Son of David, have mercy on me. 3 times they told him to shut up. 3 times he cried out even louder. There will be people to ask you to shut up. There will be people that will try to threaten you. There will be people that will say, get lost out of my sight. Hello? How can I get lost? I have my rights to live within my parameters. People are stirred up in the spirit to do what other people are saying. You crazy? But the Lord stirred our spirit up. You know, back in 1988, I went to this particular town that most of you will probably already know, to pioneer a church. And so before I went over, I graduated, I went to visit a pastor in Malacca. And the pastor said, Kelvin, you're crazy. The record shows us in the mission report 1970s onward, 1960 something to 1970, there was only one missionary. One missionary. And he said the place in Johor Bahru is the hardest ground at that time. So I said, but the Lord put in my heart to go over to this place to start a church. It's not easy. You got to really hit the ground hard. So I went. And when I went, as a young pastor, just graduated, went to visit another pastor from another church in Johor Bahru. And I asked him, I said, Pastor, would you give me some advice what to do since I'm going to pioneer work? You're an experienced pastor. You have been in the ministry for 10 over years now. And the pastor told me, he says, Kelvin, do you speak Mandarin? I said, no, I don't speak Mandarin. He says, then don't start. That was the advice from a very senior minister who told me not to start when I already put up the groundwork. He says, because I can't speak Mandarin. Hey, who says when you speak broken Mandarin cannot start? People laugh at your Mandarin, it's okay. So I went on. Then one day, after the church had grown, I started a rehab center, a drug rehab center. And at that time, we initiated the HIV victims as a residence in a certain part of our rehabilitation center. The moment HIV was mentioned to the church, some actually told me, say, Pastor, if you were to continue to have the HIV in the rehab center and they come to church on Sunday, I think you will lose some church members. Brothers and sisters, I'm not here to build a club. I'm here to build a church. If I were to tell the HIV not to come to church, am I not living a double standard? You got to know that the HIVs are coming and love them as they are. And that was what I had to do. Of course, I have some casualties. Some people just refuse to allow me to have the HIV people to come. Friend, at the end of the day, many of them learn to receive and accept. And that's exactly what the church needs to teach. There are many things that people dare not do because others say so. Say it's not possible, it's crazy. You remember Daniel's friends? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. That's the Hebrew name. And when they were told to bow before this great image built by Nebuchadnezzar, and the punishment, or rather the condition is, if you refuse to bow down, you will be thrown into the fiery furnace. And so the jealous satraps, prefects, and governors saw three Hebrew guys refused to bow before this great image, went to King Nebuchadnezzar, whispered into his ears. He says, remember, you actually passed the decree and said those who do not want to bow, they should be punished and be thrown into the fiery furnace. And so the Bible says Nebuchadnezzar was furious. He was enraged to the point he invited and called and commanded these three to come and explain themselves. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego spoke very clearly. We do not bow down to your image because my God will deliver me and deliver us. But even if he does not, we will still not bow down to your image. How many of you know there is that such group of people? Amen. They dare to do the things that others would not dare to do. In fact, the Hebrew midwives actually, whose name were Shifra and Pua. Probably you never heard that kind of a preaching about them at all. But these were the ones that actually hide. If you read Exodus chapter 1, verse 15 onwards, they were the ones who were told by the king to kill all these baby boys when they delivered the babies from the Israelite women. And so they did not because they had passion for the babies. And you know what? The king heard about it and he was happy about it. So he told them, say, why do you do this? Why do you do such a thing? And so this Shipra and Pua, the midwives, the Hebrew midwives, midwives began to explain and said, you know what? Before we could even reach there, these women are so vigorous and strong. They deliver faster before we could arrive. Beautiful, isn't it? And so the king could not do anything. And the Bible says, listen, that because the midwives did what they did, the Bible says God gave them families. God gave them families. They have their own families. Beautiful. That's the beauty of God's favor. And so these women did not do what others would probably try to do. And I want you to know that is why I call them the high achievers. What about us? Do you dare to do the things that the world would not dare to do? To be high achievers, we have to go to that extent, an extra mile. And the third thing is this. To be high achievers, these guys seek for worthiness in God's kingdom. They seek for worthiness in God's kingdom. What do I mean by that? I simply try to tell you that these guys are ready to be different from the norm. Sometimes they appear foolish. Sometimes they appear out of their mind. People like Noah. He was told to build an ark during a dry season. That is a ridiculous moment. Listen. And realize that there are times when God may ask us to do something that may appear foolish in the eyes of the world. Would you do it? Daniel signifies a separate life and a different life while he was in Babylon. These guys are extraordinary weird. Remember Peter? He says, I'm not worthy to be put to death in the same manner as the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember Caleb? Caleb told Joshua, I want to get hold of this land. It's full of Anakites. They're full of giants. And he's already 80 over years old. And he says, give me that land. Man, 80 over years old, trying to fight with the Anakites, with the giants. Anytime bigger than all of us. And he says, I will go. These are weird fellas, isn't it? These are people whom I call the extraordinary, beyond the norm. These are the people who dare to face injustice for the sake of justice. And I want you to know, they are always looked upon as one who is worthy before God, but may not be worthy before the world. They are high achievers. And I want you to know that God will take these people and bring them through all the terrains and all the rough roads in order for them to reach the finish line and say, yes, you have achieved. God wants to do that with our lives. He wants you and me to be high achievers. He wants you to go to the extra mile and not be afraid what other people say. Don't go. That's not a wise thing. That's a crazy thing. But you know, deep in your heart, this is what God is just pressing your heart and say, do it for my glory. For me to start a church here is also not an easy task. And I had to sit down with my children and say, I don't think I have a stamina to pioneer another church after what I did in Malaysia. But my children said, we will be with you. Go on. Because I was afraid. I was afraid. But they spoke those words and I sat down and I prayed through with those words they said. I said, Lord, I need a lot of grace. But I will do what you want me to do, even though it's not going to be an easy task. And the Lord took me this number of years now. And we are celebrating our 5th anniversary. Praise God for that. And so I want to encourage you, stay strong. Bring your family to the house of the Lord. Get them saved again. Bring families, bring children to the house of the Lord and get them saved again. Be daring to do what other people say don't. Seek for worthiness in God's kingdom and not worthiness in this world. And I want to close this with this particular illustration. I'm sure many of you would probably have heard it if you have read news or you have read, have seen in the YouTube. Father's Day, this particular story is always a very popular story. But I want to use this story for today. Dick and Rick Hoyt. The father, Dick, is a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air National Guard. He penned down an unconditional love letter to his firstborn. His firstborn is called Rick Hoyt. Rick entered the world in 1962, but he entered this world with cerebral palsy. Cerebral palsy took place because it was the umbilical cord that choked off the oxygen to his brain. At that time, every disabled children were routinely sent to institutions. But Dick and his wife, Judy Hoyt, they were very determined not to do so. They wanted to give their son the same opportunity as any able-bodied kids. Judy fought to enroll Rick in the public school. Well, praise be to God, Rick graduated with flying colors. In fact, he's working in Boston College, helping to develop computer-aided mechanical systems. He's a brilliant kid. And one day, Rick writes a book. And in his final chapter, he wrote to his dad. And he said this, "I have a list of things I would do for you if I was not disabled." And top on that list, he said, "I will do my best to race the world championship Ironman pulling, pushing, and paddling you. But due to my cerebral palsy, I knew I could not." And Rick said, "But it will be great. It will be great to finish to reach the finish line, because it makes me feel as though I am not handicapped." And when that letter was read, the father, Dick Hoyt, he had a hard history, but he trained hard. He went to the gym every day, built up his stamina, built up his muscles and strength in preparation for the race. He says, "I was running for Rick, who longed to be an athlete, but had no way to pursue his passion." And Dick writes this, "I wasn't running for my own pleasure. I was simply loaning my arms and my legs to my son." And finally, Dick and Rick Hoyt as a team have crossed more than 1,000 finish lines together, including 27 Boston Marathons, 7 Ironman Triathlons, a coast-to-coast track, and a countless shorter races. They have embodied the message that disability is not synonymous with limitation and that love can move mountains. But if you just have the picture of Rick lying down there and Dick has to carry him every time when they go from one particular platform to another platform, and they had to do all these exercises as Iron Man. When I saw that whole picture, my concern was this. Dick was doing everything to help the son to reach the finish line. And I felt in my spirit, God is doing the same thing for all of us. If you want to be high achievers, you got to allow God to swim you through the rough sea and push you through the rough roads and get you right to the finish line. That's exactly what God wants to do. If you want to be high achievers, you got to allow God to do all these things upon your life. And when you get into rough situation and you say, "I don't have the arms and the legs and even to do those kind of things," but the Lord says, "I will loan you my arms, I will loan you my legs, I will loan you my heart, and I want you to go through, because I am making you to be high achievers." God wants to do that as much as Dick did to his son Rick. If only that you could capture the picture, you understand fully what I'm trying to say. And it's such a very touching situation, looking at the father doing all he could to bring the son through to the finish line. I believe you too can have that. Amen.
listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410 985 432, or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.